And let me, I'll pray and then we'll begin. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would illuminate our minds tonight so that we can understand your word and live our lives in accordance with it, loving our Lord Jesus and living for him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to let you do something that you've always longed to do this evening, and that is, while we're sitting here, just in the next few moments, take a sneaky look around the room to see who else is here. So while you look around, you'll notice that there are all different kinds of people, and you may know some people and other people you don't know, different height, width, different skin colour, different age, all quite different. But there is a bond that links you, assuming that you trust in Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. A link and connection that ties us together, so we're not actually you and you and you and you, but instead we're us. We're a body, and it's a body that works together because of Jesus. And what we're going to see tonight, as we think about the Holy Spirit, is that... God the Holy Spirit enables all believers to work together as a body to glorify God by growing the church. God the Holy Spirit enables all believers to work together as a body to glorify God by growing the church. So we're looking at the business of the Holy Spirit in our sermon series, who he is and what he does. And this one is team building. And we're mainly going to look at these chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, to see this, that God the Holy Spirit enables all believers to live, work together as a body and glorify God by growing the church. So here's the first step. God the Holy Spirit enables all believers. When we put our trust in Jesus, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as God the Son, to be our Lord and our Saviour, we all receive, as a gift from God, God living with us, the Holy Spirit. So we all do, all believers. There's no distinction between this believer or that believer on the grounds of anything. And he's there to help us and enable us to live our new life with Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Now, this passage, 1 Corinthians, it's a letter to Christians in a city called Corinth that's in Greece. And it's the first of two letters in the New Testament. So we get 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, or more poshly or politely, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, and Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. Paul, who wrote them, he's an apostle. He's a Bible hero, isn't he? Had a dramatic conversion to follow Jesus and spent the rest of his life giving all he had to help men and women around the Mediterranean to know Jesus and to grow in him and live for him. On the other hand, the church he writes to, the Christians in Corinth, that is a disaster zone. They'd had the privilege of his ministry for a year and a half, but within a few years of him leaving and going elsewhere, it had all gone horribly wrong in Corinth. Some of them had got the idea that they were super spiritual. They were better than others. And judging by what Paul says to them in the rest of the letter, it seems that they decided that not every Christian had the Holy Spirit. And even when a believer did, there were different variations, so that you have a ranking system based on what the Spirit enabled you to do. And that led to divisions and some believers in the church being treated as second rate. But Paul wants nothing to do with those ideas. So in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." He does think that they are. He thinks they're ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit, and so he's going to tell them how it really is. He makes it clear that every believer has the Spirit, and no unbeliever has the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, "I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So every believer has the Holy Spirit, because the believer is the person who says, "Jesus is Lord." It's the Holy Spirit who enables a believer to trust in Jesus and say he's Lord. And that's what we've seen so far, isn't it, in our series. The Holy Spirit helps every believer. How? Well, what have we seen already? He glorifies Jesus, helps us to see how great Jesus is. He brings us to Jesus, so he helps us to understand and believe in Jesus in the first place. He teaches us of Jesus, so we have the Bible to, as God's word, to help us understand. And he gets us to proclaim Jesus so that other people can know of him. How much does he help us? Enormously. God, the Holy Spirit, enables all believers. And here in 1 Corinthians 12 in particular, we see that he enables us to serve. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. It's one of the great Trinitarian statements of the Bible. We've got the Spirit, we've got Jesus, and we've got God the Father, all working together so that believers are enabled to serve. Verse 4, it's the Spirit who is with us, enabling us. Verse 5, it's Jesus we serve, he's the Lord. And verse 6, it's the power of God the Father at work. Brilliant. No second-rate believers, every believer a first-rate believer with the Holy Spirit. Every believer in Corinth. Well, what about here at St. Lawrence? Every believer here at St. Lawrence too, including you. God the Holy Spirit enables all believers. And he enables us to work together as a body. Have a look at verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. If you read the Good News version of the Bible, it puts it like this. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. God the Holy Spirit creates abilities in believers, spiritual gifts, and these spiritual gifts are there for the common good. They're not there for the person's individual enjoyment. They're there so that we do things together as a local church, and that when we do things together, that local church works properly. It's for the good of all, for the common good. Paul goes on in verse 12, a little bit down the page there, to talk about a human body and say that the church is like a human body. So if you think about your body, God has created your body to be very complex and amazing. So there's lots of different bits that do different things. There's hands, eyes, lungs, intestines, you know, all different things. They're all very different. But they work together, and that's how God has designed us. And no one bit is enough on its own. You don't see a sort of an intestine walking around. I've got legs, how could it walk? You know, each bit needs all the other bits for it to work properly. And Paul says that is just like the Corinthians should be as a church, and what we should be like as a church. One body, but with many parts. We're all together, we're all different people, different abilities that God the Holy Spirit has created in us. But the great thing is, he says, verse 18, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So whatever we do, whether it's an upfront gift like Bible preaching, or a hidden gift like quiet encouragement, whatever we do, we're all an important part of the body. They got it all wrong in Corinth. They were exercising the gifts they had selfishly. They didn't have any humility or concern or brotherly love. Humility, if you look down to the bottom of the page, Paul tells them, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We may, however, have something different to offer from someone else. But in humility, we set that within the context of the whole body. Everyone working together. Everyone valuable. And we consider others more valuable than ourselves. Not what they were doing in Corinth. One person was saying, well, I don't need you. Paul says, no, we need humility. We're all part of one body. And concern for each other, making sure we can all play our part. Verse 25. There should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. Verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. We have concern for each other's well-being. So humility, concern, and love, brotherly, sisterly love. A major failing in Corinth. No love, just selfishness. And he devotes chapter 13 to talking about how they should love each other. It's not a wedding sermon passage, although it's quite a useful one. It's about believers in a body of church. And our individualistic, kind of self-centered society that's very user-based encourages us to be like the Corinthians. So users of the church, not members. Church as an activity instead of a community. Temporary membership, I'll come when I feel like it, instead of commitment. And in chapter 13, he wades into them. And he says, if I, verse 1, if I make heavenly coffee after the service or angelic music to help people sing, if I do all these different things, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Love means that we think the other people here, and in the rest of our church, are worth putting ourselves out for. Love, concern, humility. Working together as a body. And this is what the Holy Spirit works in us. Jesus shows us the way. He said to his disciples from Mark 10, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's Jesus. He died on the cross for us, for our sins. He didn't have to do that. But he laid down his life so that we might be forgiven and live. Love at its deepest. Concern right there at his heart. Humility. He served rather than coming to be served. So Jesus is the one who shows us the way. But then we see it in other people in the Bible as well. So you get in the book of Acts, you get Stephen and Philip. They're two of the disciples who spread the message of Jesus after his resurrection. And they are the first preachers, after Peter that is, in the book. Stephen preaches and is martyred immediately. Philip takes the gospel to Samaria and many people come to Christ. Now, how did these great men, Stephen and Philip, start out in Christian ministry? In chapter 6 of Acts, by helping to organise a daily food run to widows. There was love, concern, and humility in what they did. And so the Holy Spirit gives us abilities, not that we can show off and look flashy or feel great or have blessed experiences, but so we can get our hands dirty, as it were, and serve our brothers and sisters in our local church. The Holy Spirit enables all believers to work together as a body. But what for? What is the purpose and the end? The aim? God the Holy Spirit enables all believers to work together as a body to glorify God by growing the church. We work together to make God known in the world as the wonderful and amazing God that he is. Turning to another Bible writer, to Peter in his first letter, he says this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There's the purpose of Christians, he says, to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How do we do that? Back to our passage, 1 Corinthians. By using these abilities that are gifts from the Holy Spirit, to help each other to grow in our knowledge and our love for Jesus, to grow in our discipleship, our maturity as followers, and by using those same abilities to help others to come to know Christ in the first place. So we glorify God by growing the church. And if you read through all these chapters, you'll see various gifts and abilities mentioned, and we don't know what some of them actually mean, but we're not told to expect to have them. What we do know is that Paul wants the believers there in Corinth to use the gift to help others to know Jesus and not to use them selfishly. And that's what he's talking about when he speaks about the common good that verse we read earlier. Everyone growing together for maturity in Christ. And that's the purpose of our church meetings, as we meet on Sunday for our services, or in our home groups, or in other things we do, that we might glorify God by growing as believers, helping others to know him. Now, how well are the Corinthians doing, do we think?
Not very well.
They've blown it again. They're very obsessed with their personal spiritual experiences. And so the way they use what God has given them in the Spirit doesn't help other people. And it's a bit like, you know, if you were to go on a lovely holiday, a lovely diving holiday, and you go fly out to the Caribbean with all the latest equipment, and you get there and you've got the most brilliant aqualung and mask and goggles and flippers and everything, and you just put it all together wrong. It's just not going to work. You're going to dive and die because you've done it wrong, even though you've got the best equipment. And it's like this. They've got the Holy Spirit has blessed them in all sorts of ways, but they've put it together wrong, and it's not working. So in the next chapter, chapter 14, Paul tries to put them right. And if you look at verse 12, it kind of sums up what he wants to say to them here. He says, "Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." He wants them in their meetings to speak about Jesus in a way that others can understand. So the believers who are there will hear and understand and be built up in Christ. And if anyone has wandered in, interested in what's going on, and they don't yet trust in Jesus, they'll come along and hear and understand and want to know Jesus. He wants them to use the gifts to glorify God by growing the church. So how will God the Holy Spirit do that for us today? Well, by still giving us the abilities he wants us to have and that we need for this. Bible teaching gifts, whether that's Bible teaching to children, teenagers, or to adults, to the elderly, maybe in home groups or other things. Gifts to do with prayer, so that we can pray for each other. Gifts of encouragement, so that we build each other up and help each other. Gifts to do with looking after people and caring for people, so that no one gets left out. Gifts to do with organising, so things happen. Foot washing gifts, if you like, the sort of nitty gritty stuff. Helping out gifts, being there gifts, all sorts of things. And God will give us the gifts we need because the Holy Spirit distributes them to each one just as he determines, verse 11 of chapter 12. God distributes them to each one just as he determines. Again in chapter 12, God has, verse 18, placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So someone might say, well, David, then why haven't you put a sign-up list up for us? You know, on one side you can have what are the gifts you've got, and the other side you can have what are the things you want to do in church. Yeah, what a great idea that would be. And the reason is that, well, like with Philip and Stephen in the book of Acts, spiritual gifts become known when people serve the church and get involved in simple, humble service. So instead of having lists up saying, tell us your gifts and how would you like to serve, we ask people to come and help the holiday club. It's simple, humble service. It's not very glamorous, and it could involve making the refreshments for people or setting up the games equipment or sitting and helping a little group with their Bible times and that kind of thing. They're all simple things. But our prayer is that God the Holy Spirit will be at work among us, helping us to run our holiday club at the end of May. But as we do that as well, enabling us, building us up, growing the gifts we have, showing us where they are in each other, giving us an opportunity to use gifts. And all of that to glorify God and to grow the church. And that's the business of the Holy Spirit. So another moment, just have a little peek around. Go on, have a little look. We're all different, aren't we? But God says if we're trusting in Jesus, we're all part of a body. And that this body that God has given us is a body that God works in. God the Holy Spirit enables all believers to work together as a body to glorify God by growing the church. The Holy Spirit enables all believers. So maybe we need to be humbled or encouraged. Maybe we need his help to be more loving and concerned. But he enables us. He enables us to work together as a body. Are we getting on with the kind of humble service that leads to gifts growing within? And he enables us to glorify God by growing the church. Is that what we want? Do we want others to come to Christ? Do we want others to grow in him? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have this great plan for how you work things out in your people over the ages, and that you have sent the Holy Spirit to live with us in our lives, and he enables us to serve you. We pray for your help for each one of us to be humble servants in the body, not saying to anyone else, I don't need you, or not thinking that we're unimportant, but together working so that we can glorify you by helping others to grow in Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.